please, in your Bibles, 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to look at verse number 17 tonight. But keep your Bibles open. 2 Peter, we'll be dealing with each chapter a little bit as God will help us to do so. And thinking of a thought tonight. And I pray that God will speak to our hearts and encourage us, challenge us, and help us along the way. He knows what we need in this hour and how good He is. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. The Apostle Peter coming down to the end of 2 Peter now. He's been writing and encouraging and helping. And he says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. And I want you to get that, what he said in the last phrase, fall from your own steadfastness. He did not say anything about falling from salvation or falling away from being saved. He just said falling away from being steadfast. And we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And in these days we're living in, we're seeing a lot of shakiness instead of steadfastness. And we need some steadfastness in these days. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God and read and this precious Word. Then, Father, I'm thinking about all the singing and how what a blessing it was to my heart. And I praise your name and thank you, Lord, for the adult choir and the young folk. I praise your name and I thank you, God, for this day and your blessings upon us. And then, Lord, they sang just now about your goodness to us and how good you've been to us. We'd have to bow our heads and say the Lord has been good. And we praise you and thank you and give you glory. And thanks for all that you've ever done, are doing, and shall yet do. I pray tonight now, help us to preach. And I realize the fact I need that divine touch. I need you to help me to remember. I need you to help me to share, be able to say what you want me to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit take it and speak to hearts. And deal with lives tonight and encourage and challenge and convict. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Call your attention again to our text verse that we're looking at. As we look at 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st Peter, he's writing primarily to saved Jewish folk. That's not to say it's not for us. It's for everybody. In 2 Peter, he's including seemingly Gentile and Jew together and all the saved and dealing with that. But regardless of who directly he's writing to, it's for us today because all the Word is profitable for us in this day. We need all the Word. And so Peter's writing in those first five chapters of 1 Peter. He's sharing some things. We shared a little bit this morning about that, but in chapter or 2 Peter 2, he's sharing with us and encouraging to be steadfast and telling us about some things to know. And I'm thinking about this tonight. Knowledge that anchors. I'm glad there's some things we can know that helps anchor us, that does anchor us. And he said in that verse number 17 now, "Ye beloved, seeing you know," now there's that word, you know these things. What thing? We're going to talk about them in just a few moments. "You know these things before, beware lest you're being led away with the error of the wicked." And so we're going to deal with this and try to share with you knowledge and anchors, some things that we know given to us out of the book of 2 Peter. And he talks about in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. He deals with salvation mainly in chapter 1. Chapter 2, he's dealing with the work of Satan and deceivableness that we have. In chapter number 3, he's dealing with the saints' victory and talking to us to be steadfast and encouraging us in that. I want to finish up right. I want to finish my race right. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to finish it up that way. I want to finish it up having fought a good fight, finished the course that God set before me. I want to be available for God to guide me in that course as I talk this morning. And certainly I need to be dependable and need God's help for that. But I pray that God would show us and teach us and help us, that we may see these things given to us in 2 Peter, that we can know and be steadfast therein. And this knowledge will anchor us. If a ship's in a dock and it wants to stay there, then they put an anchor out, tie it to the dock, put an anchor out that's out in the water, and that anchor holds it. I'm glad we have an anchor that can hold us. I'm anchored in the right place, by the way. I'm anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the right place to be anchored. You may get tossed a little bit in the waves around it, but your anchor still holds. They sing that song sometimes, the anchor still holds. I'm glad it's anchored good. And that anchor still holds in the night. We can shout glory, hallelujah. We're glad we're anchored in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I want you to turn in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter. We're going to deal with salvation here in this chapter a little bit and give you two or three things about that he talks about knowing. And I pray that God would seal it to our hearts and help us with that, and that we'd be anchored in that. If you're not anchored in your salvation, you'll not be anchored in anything else. Amen. That's got to be anchored. And so I'm glad that it can be and will and is if you're anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they sang the song a while ago, I Remember the Day. Do you remember that day that you got saved and born in the family of God? Brother Tim got to testifying about his, and he remembered that day. Aren't you glad for the day that you know that you got saved? You remember that day? And I look over the house, and I remember seeing several of you folk here tonight, the day you got saved and you got born in the family of God. And some I've heard you give your testimony about being saved and in the family of God. And I say hallelujah, praise God for the reality of it. But 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I just wanted to plug in that like precious faith. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's saying now it's all in Christ. And he's dealing with that. Now I'm going to get to the no part in just a minute. But he said that like precious faith. I'm glad. The same way you got saved, I got saved. Same precious faith you got, I got. And we're anchored in the same one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody may have been under conviction for weeks. Somebody may have been under conviction for days. Somebody may have been under conviction for weeks or years or months or whatever. But when you got saved, you got anchored in Christ. And some people may have some tragedy happened in their family that brought them to the place where they saw they needed a Savior. It may have been not a tragedy, but it could have been just simply the fact of going to church and hearing preaching. It could have been simply hearing a song sung, preaching and all that. And God began to work in your heart. You may have been just sitting down reading the Bible and God began to speak to your heart and deal with your life. It may be something like that. I don't know. But every one of us, when we got saved, we got anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness, and like precious faith. Now look at verse number 3. According as His divine power have given unto us all things. I love that. All power. Having given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You say, preacher, I can't live godly in this ungodly world. The Bible said, and I want to read it again, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. I say hallelujah. Amen. That's why He said it. Knowledge of is given to attain to life and godliness through the knowledge. And I'm glad, thank God, for that power that He's given to us. And I praise Him. I have no strength in my own. It's His power. And He said He gave His power for godliness, for life and godliness. And all in an ungodly world, and people say, well, we can't live for God in a day like this. You can't, but He can. And if you let God live in you, like out of you, like he wants to, and he can't live out through you if he's not in you, he's got to get in you so he can live out through you. And then as he does that, you'll be living the godly life. Amen. I am glad the power, for that power that he said, I've given to you. I rejoice in that. I mean, that excites my soul to know that I'm not just in this thing hung out there in the world of sin and ungodliness and filth and trying to do something. I know the power of God. I thank him for that power. And I certainly want to experience more of that power day by day. But I know it's not in my strength. It's in his strength, his power. I'm saved, have power through him to live for God and live godly in an ungodly world. Now, notice something else here, if you will, please, in verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. A partaker of divine nature? That's what he's saying. A partaker of divine nature, having given us precious promises, and partaker of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. He's saying it's all in Christ and his righteousness. I've been delivered through and from this divine, from the world, made a part of divine nature. When you got saved, I got saved, the Holy Spirit took his abode up inside of us. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. If he doesn't live within you, you're not saved. But if he does live within you, then that means you are a partaker of divine nature. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a partaker of divine nature tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, you're a country boy, come from nowhere, amount to anything, but what do you mean divine nature? You're just an old boy got saved. I am, but I'm a partaker of divine nature. Amen. I don't care where you come from. You may come from a mansion somewhere in this world. You may come out of a rich family somewhere. You may come out of somewhere that had everything that anybody could ever want. But if you ever got saved, you became a partaker of divine nature. And you may have been as poor as Job's turkey. Ever how poor Job's turkey was? I never have figured that out. But you may be as poor as Job's turkey. But when you got saved, you became a partaker of divine nature. I'm so glad I'm a part of divine. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in a part of divine nature? You're not hung out here in this old flesh and left alone, but a partaker of divine nature. Now notice something else. I'm talking about salvation now. He said, whereby giving us exceeding precious promises, and it might be partaker of that divine nature. He give us that peace, that power, that promises he give to us. And notice in verse 5, and besides this, now, he's been talking about all the, his power, divine nature, and precious promises, and all of this. And he said, besides this. I said, glory, hallelujah, something else, let me look. And he said, besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, there's that word knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's that knowledge, a knowledge that anchors. I'm glad this knowledge anchors me in my salvation. And I know that I'm saved because of the righteousness of Christ. I'm a part of divine nature. I have precious promises. He said, told me to add to these things. And so, and all this, I'm praising God and thanking God that I know that I'm saved. Are you saved? If you had to die right now, if you dropped over dead, you had a heart attack or something else happened to you, and you just dropped over dead and left right now, do you know that you'd wake in heaven? Do you know that be absent from the body, be present with the Lord? And if you had to go right now, I'm looking back at Brother Bob. He's so glad he got saved. He can't stand it. And he's smiling from ear to ear because I know his answer. Yes, I know. Now, there's a day and a time when he was out there in that gang and doing what he was doing out there in the world. He didn't know that. He didn't know if he died, he'd be waking in heaven. He knew he'd be waking in hell without God. But I'm glad God came by one day and God saved him by his marvelous grace. He did you the same way. You may not have been in a gang. You may have been a church member. You may have been whatever. But God saved you. Thank God. He birthed you in the family of God. And it became real to you. And now to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. If I drop over in this pulpit and there's a lady talking to me before church, and she was being very kind and very nice to me, she's concerned about me, and I appreciate that. I do. I thank her for that. She just cares. That's all I know to tell you. And she wants me to take care of myself and that kind of thing. I appreciate those kind of thoughts. I really do. I appreciate that. But if I do die in the pulpit, you can say he's absent from the body, but he's in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. You can say he went happy. Amen. He went in the glory. I'm glad, praise God, for the reality of being saved and born in the family of God. Number two. I want you to look at chapter number two of 2 Peter. And here he's giving us some things about the devil. But let's notice verse 1 before we get to that. In chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And he said, there are going to be false teachers. Now, get it, mark it down. There'll be false teachers who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, denying the Lord that bought, denying the blood, denying all that. We have those folk around us today, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. But now notice the devil's purpose here in verse number 2 and first part of that verse. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, that is their dangerous ways. And his purpose is to get us to follow their way. The devil wants to get you out of your steadfast. He don't want you to enjoy being a part of an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, good glory-singing church. He don't want you to be a part of that. He wants you to get messed up and get led away a little bit of this crowd that got the new stuff come out, and get you into that so that he can mess you up and take your joy and take away the power of God upon your life and get you where you're no effective, you're not effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the devil's purpose, and he'll do everything he can to mess you up in that. And notice here, by reason, here's the way he's going to do it, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken up. There are those today that think we're a nut. There are those today that think absolutely that Bible-believing Christians, they're in the political realm, that think that Bible-believing Christians are causing a lot of problems today. Man, that'd be a mess. If we's causing a problem, we're in real trouble, I'll tell you that. But it's not the Bible-believing people that's causing the trouble. They're the only things holding it together. You remember during Jubilee when Brother Tony Finney preached that message that he preached? And what a message he preached, a great, tremendous message, and talked about the America and where she's headed and all that kind of stuff, but came down to the end and talked about how that we that are saved is what's really holding it together. The only reason I believe that America still stands tonight is the fact they still Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches across America, and people that are contending for the faith, once delivered unto the saints, and trying to get the gospel out around the world. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I think tonight that we are not the trouble, but the trouble's coming from the devil. But he likes to get the folk to thinking that we're the ones messed up. I remember one time when the apostles got out there and they got arrested, and they called them unlearned and ignorant men. And that's what they say about us. We don't have enough sense to believe modern teaching that we all just evolved from a monkey. And there's a big bang one time, and blew up, and the earth just happened to fall where it did, and the sun happened to stop where it did, and the moon where it did. Gravitation happened to be just like it is. Then the monkey began to get walking up on 2 feet all the time, and you know how that goes. And there's some folk I've looked at, I want to know, but not really. I just believe that. I believe what God said. God created. In the beginning, God created, amen. And God created the earth, God created everything, put it in space, and put everything in its order. Everything has a right, it's working just right. I say to you tonight, thank God that we have enough sense to believe the word of God. Amen. But they called them ignorant and unlearned, but this is one thing they said about them. We took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, amen. I'd like for the world to take knowledge that we've been with Jesus, amen. In these days that we have been with Jesus. And so the devil's purpose there, he's trying to get you to go the wrong way. And the way he's going to do that is by reason of whom they truth shall be evil spoken of. They'll speak evil. And through covetousness, and he's going to use this, and through covetousness shall they with fringed words make much merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnable slumbereth not. And so we see in that covetousness, through their covetousness. We have those today that's using covetousness, that's for sure, and so-called religion, so-called Christianity, and they're using things that pull people in and get them mixed up and messed up in their minds and hearts. You stick with the old stuff. Stick with the old book. Let me give you the third thing, and I'll try to close here in just a moment. But I'm looking at chapter 3 now. Look at verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He said, I want you to remember. And notice he said, I want you to know, down in verse 17, you know these things, seeing you know these things, beloved. We know that we're saved through the righteousness of Christ, have divine power, have precious promises. We know the devil's at work. We know the devil's trying to deceive us. We know the devil will slip up on your blind side. And you say, preacher, I never be deceived. I was reading or heard it, I can't remember which, the other day. A preacher that I was listening to or reading after, can't remember which, but they make a statement, and they were really nailing down a few things, but the statement was concerning this: in this day in which we live, never had he seen so many people that he never dreamed would fall away. That people that he never thought would give up on God or quit the church or quit living for God had thrown in the towel and done that. And made that statement, and I say amen to that fact. We're living in a day that people just quit. They just quit living for God. They just quit. At least they say they were living for God. I'm not the judge. I can't judge your heart. I don't know, but I know some people get discouraged. I know some people get out of the will of God. I know some people. But if you really say and you get out of the will of God and try to quit on God, God will not leave you alone. He will convict you. He will chastise you. He will draw you. He will help you. And I'm glad he does. Thank God he does. But I want you to look now in verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Here's going to come those people to laugh at you, mock at you, make fun of you. Persecution will come. And we don't know what persecution is here in America as far as being put in prison or that kind of thing. As of yet, we don't know that. But we do know what it is like for to have some folk to laugh at you or mock you because you believe the Bible. You young folk. And I enjoy challenging young folk because young people will be faced with things that you and I maybe were not faced with when we were young folk. They're going to be faced with things they need to know, that they don't have to be ashamed of Jesus, and they can stand for Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior. I was reading this afternoon just before church about a lady years ago, they told her if she recant her belief in the Lord Jesus, they'd turn her loose. They had arrested her. She had a small baby. Her daddy had went to her and begged her to give up and recant and say turn against Jesus and give it up so she could go home with her baby and so she could be with her family. Then he tried. I was telling her how hard it was on him and on his her mother, and she still would not do it. And then she went before the judge, and the judge looked at her as a beautiful young lady, and she had all kinds of qualities, but she was a saved young lady. And she loved God. And he looked at her and felt sorry for her and said, if you'll just recant, we'll let you go. But she said, I will not recant. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they took her and took her head off. I say to you, thank God for somebody that had enough grace of God, enough grit in their hearts, knew God and persecution, that yet they stand for God. What would you do if they said to you, you deny the Lord Jesus or we'll cut your head off? What would you do if you stood in before a machine gun and they said you either recant and turn against Jesus or we'll mow you down? What would you do? What would you do? You say, preacher, I'd stand for God. I would hope we would. I hope I would. Amen. I think I would. I think I know myself well enough that I think I would, but really we wouldn't know until you face the gun or the axe or the rope or whatever. You don't really know what you'd do until testing time comes. I can tell you this, there's a whole lot of folk get out in the wrong crowd, just like the Apostle Peter did. And they can get scared to death and start talking about not knowing Jesus or laughing at dirty jokes or doing things they wouldn't do otherwise when they said they wouldn't do it. Amen. If we'll do that, what do you think we'd do about our own life, our own skin? And you remember what the devil said about Job and told God, said for a man's skin, he'll do anything about his body. You just take his health, take it away. He'll do anything. No. I say to you tonight, God, help us that we'll be so anchored by the knowledge that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll be unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. Stand steadfast. Be steadfast. The Paquettes are going back to Mexico. As far as we know right now, Mexico is not the safest place to be. And I made a statement the other day, America is not the safest place I know to be. In fact, is they? I don't know any place. I'll tell you, the safest place on the face of this earth is in the center of the will of God. Amen. Because God's not going to allow anything to happen to you, and neither to the Paquettes or anybody else, unless He allows it to happen. Job did not lose his children until God gave permission for it. Job did not lose his possession until God gave permission for it. Job did not lose his health until God gave permission for it. And then he lost it. But we today, we have an opportunity to live for God. Let's do it. Look in verse number 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness. But his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Here's our patience. We're persecuted to some degree, in some ways, some manners, but also the patience. He said the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Hey, some of you here tonight that's praying for your loved ones. You want to get them in church. You want to get them saved. You want to get them right with God. My heart cries for them. I pray for them, and I ask God to help them. I want your family. I want your family. I want your family. I desire to see your family come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I desire to see them get in church. And the Lord's not throwed us aside. He's not forgot about us. Let's not fail in well-doing. Let's not quit doing that God knows we ought to do. Let's keep praying. Let's keep believing, keep trusting, and God will help us in that. But I want you to look with me, please, at verse number 10. But the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. That's our privilege. Jesus is coming back to get us, and I say hallelujah. Brother Bill, I'm glad we're heading out. Praise God, going home to heaven. And maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe this week, maybe this month, I don't know, but we're going to go home one day. But let me close with this tonight. As he told in verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Don't fall from your steadfastness. But notice what he said in verse 18, and I close, conclusion. "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." We know these things. They'll help anchor us. But let's grow in grace. Let's don't quit growing. Let's don't quit learning. Let's don't quit doing. Let's don't quit those things. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come to the house of God, share the things of God. Lord, just get around the Word and these things that we know you've given to us in the Word of God to anchor us. And Father, the winds of disbelief and the winds of doubt, the winds of ungodliness, the winds of God denying are blowing all around us. But help us be steadfast, because we know we're anchored in these things. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done and doing. Now tonight, maybe those in our house, this house, Lord, that know not the Lord Jesus, Maybe those here tonight that they're out of the will of God. Maybe some here tonight that just got a burden. Maybe a problem, a situation. I pray in Jesus' name, help us to remember that we're anchored. These things we know. In Jesus' name, have your way. Amen and amen.